Well, I just think to you like this, the most manly man that there ever was
wept.
That was Jesus over Jerusalem.
Praise God. Well, welcome everybody to the Sunday morning adult Bible discussion group. Can I say that? Here at Rooms Christian Fellowship, where we just love to talk about our Lord. Father, we just want to thank you. Thank you for your grace that is outshining from us. Oh, the happiness, the joy, the peace, the serenity, the contentment that you have given to us. It doesn't depend on the circumstances. It is simply be still and know that you are God. We just bask in that sunlight today, Father, and we ask you to direct our path, not only in this discussion, but help us, Lord, to seek first the kingdom of God, to put our will aside and to just want your will in our lives. Father, we thank you and we praise you, and help us to just talk about the things that you want us to talk about today. Lead us, guide us. Put words, put thoughts, and help them to come out of the people just as you direct, Father. It will make a beautiful conversation out of this class today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Okay, guess where we are still? We're still in Matthew chapter 7, and let me see what did we stop at 20? Yes. I was going to say that. I didn't say that. And there's a lot of beautiful stuff in there. So, would you go ahead, either Buddy or Brenda? Whose turn it is? They read it out of the classic.
Amplified,
yes.
Reading from Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and driven out demons in your name and done many mighty works in your name? And then I will say to them openly, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who act wickedly, disregarding my commands. So everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them, obey them, will be like a sensible, prudent, practical, wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a stupid, foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against the house and it fell, and great and complete was the fall of it. When Jesus had finished these sayings, the Sermon on the Mount, the crowds were astonished and overwhelmed with bewildered wonder at his teaching, for he was teaching as one who had and was authority and did as did the scribes. Okay, that's in the chapter 20, after chapter 20.
Does anybody want to start a conversation?
Twenty-one has a reference because it's talking about. I love how it says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter to the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Mm-hmm. And it's got a reference back here, and it goes back to chapter 25 of Matthew. And it starts on, actually, the 11th verse. and it says, it's talking about the 10 virgins. It says afterward, but it's actually, this actually is talking about the five, the last one.
The five said, foolish or the five wise?
Oh, the four, five foolish.
Okay.
Afterward came they also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. That should give us an indication of how prepared we ought to be at any time. Because you can be a member of a group or a fraternity, I'm going to get mean here, or a church, and think you're included. Now, a church to me is nothing more than the body of Christ, but I think that's about what it's supposed to be. But if you're not, how do I want to say it, being observant wisely, like the ones that we knew, that the ones that were taken care of were the ones that had the extra oil or carried oil with them all the time. So they knew that that was a requirement. Wouldn't you say that? Well, maybe I'm out of the running. Wouldn't you say that was a requirement? I mean, it was a requirement by which God told them, go away from me, I never knew you, because they didn't continue to carry it. They thought they would have time. That's another thing. They thought they would have time to go get, fetch some, and come back. Mm-hmm. Not so. Now I'm going to get off the subject a little. I think a lot of times, this is what I felt like with the Lord, when we'd have worship service in there, and people would sit out in the foyer and not come in. And I don't know if that, I actually believe it was the Holy Spirit showing me this, that he said, you've shut the door. He goes like this, that's the same thing I'm going to do. I'm going to shut the door, but I'm not going to let them in. Oh, we couldn't do that to no one, but the Lord's going to do it to somebody. Could be the obedience, could be the stiff neck, whatever you want to call them.
Rebellious.
But it. I should have said disobedient, but I mean, we're kidding ourselves if we think God's changing. God's going to change.
You know, the Lord's saying to me as you're speaking, it doesn't even have to be obviously rebellious or obviously. It's just frittering away the opportunity, not being single-eyed to God. Ask, keep on asking. Knock and keep on knocking. Be persistent. Be single-eyed. Know what your job is and do it. And not be pulled away from by other things that you're putting.
Could be pride. Could be so many things. But I say that I see that as failure to join, to unite, to exalt, failure to. I mean, come on. Who's in the worship? Who's in the praise? I mean, what's the scripture say about who's in it? He exists in your praise. As you lift him up, he exists in that lifting up, as you exalt him. I mean, it could be the way that they don't like a tune and the refusal to adjust. I mean, I'm not kidding you. We act like everything's okay. Well, it's not okay. Not according to scripture.
Well,
and by the scripture, that's how things are going
to
be.
We already used to sing, so, you know, if the type of songs change, then we'll, you know.
Well, I think it's been more revealing to us that the fact that in music, and I think I mentioned Michael Jackson last week, in music, God can be exalted above our even our imagination. And a lot of those songs, a lot of those songs that, yet they're in the world, but I'll tell you what, if you'll get into them the way the Holy Spirit's dealing with them, he'll exalt you to above this world and see it as he sees it. I don't think the scripture says all things were created by him and for him, and without him was nothing made. Is that right? Well, I mean, we're fooling ourselves. We think that man made these songs. God in man made those songs. And he knows how to lift himself in music. And I just think, you know, that sometimes we don't know what's good for us.
That's obvious.
That's the truth. I'll shut up.
Amen.
I like that you quoted that scripture about the five wise virgins and the five, you know, that reference to the five wise virgins and the five foolish virgins, basically. And if you read what's being said here, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Now, the next verse says, so that tells you who he's really talking to here. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? So who's he really talking to there?
Church.
Christians. Church. Mm-hmm. That's right. Mm-hmm. That's who he's talking to. And what's he saying? He basically, for that scripture that you quoted about the five and the wise, you have a choice whether to listen to your five natural senses, which your five natural senses don't have oil, or your five spiritual senses. And that's where we have to say to the Lord, and another thing is you got to realize where it's, what it's saying there, shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Okay? We know that the scripture tells us where the kingdom of God is. Where is the kingdom of God?
In us.
In us. Mm-hmm. So if it's in us, then we have to make sure that we ask the Lord, Lord, give me ears to hear what your spirit is saying. Give me eyes to see what you're trying to show me. You know, let me speak the words of life in situations rather than in the natural, you're going to usually speak the words of death because you're going to judge. And, you know, let me be touched with the feeling of the infirmities of those about me. And see, when we begin to ask the Lord to do that stuff, then that's when we're going to begin to fulfill the Lord's will. Because his will is that we function in the same, I'm going to say, attitude and that Jesus functioned in. Jesus functioned in, he didn't judge with the seeing of the eye or the hearing of the ear. He judged with only by the Spirit, because he had the Spirit without measure. We still go in and out at times, but we need to recognize when we're out, you know. And, you know, I think once we come to the realization that he wants us to function in those five spiritual senses, then we'll quit listening to the natural senses so much. Quit, you know, observing with the natural eyes and saying, oh, geez, I know that's this way or that's that way. Well, no, we don't know that. And you also have to realize what it says in Romans 8 chapter, where it says, the creature was made what? Subject to what?
Vanity.
Vanity, not willingly,
no,
but by him who subjected the same in hope.
Right.
And what is the hope? The hope is that in the finality of everything, everything will be turned back to being children of God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's the finality of the thing. So, but we have to realize that sometimes they can't see out there. I'm talking about out there. They can't see out there because it isn't time for them to see yet. God hasn't opened their eyes. He spoke to the masses with parables. Why did he speak in parables? So that seeing, they wouldn't see, and hearing, they wouldn't hear. Now that sounds like God's against you, but he's really not against you. There's coming a time when he's gonna take the lid off all this stuff, and then people are gonna come into that. Even what it says in J.B. Phillips back in John, that creation cannot as yet see, well, in John, up in Romans 8 chapter, creation cannot as yet see reality, not because it chooses to be blind, but because he has subjected it to that. And then up in John, where it talks about that if reality were to break forth, well, how's reality going to break forth? It has to begin to break forth in his body, and his body has to begin to start setting creation free. Now, yeah, now I know that a lot of people in the church are like, oh, you're trying to make yourself into Jesus. No. I got news for you. It's groaning and travailing, waiting for that manifestation of the sons of God. And until we come to the reality of who we are and what we are, quit inputting their trespasses, start showing them the love of God, start releasing them from that carnal mind, you know, and start inviting them to partake of the anointed mind, the five spiritual senses, then, you know, it's going to stay a mess out there. And if you read, what is it, Psalm 81, where it says, where it talks about, I have said you are gods and children of the Most High, but you die like men. What's he saying? He's saying, I've said you're this, but you're saying you're this. Mm-hmm. And because as long as you keep saying you're this, you're going to die like men.
Right.
You know, you're not going to move into the fullness of. And he says, how long, O Elohim? How long will you let creation be out of? He's not talking about God out there.
Right. He's talking about us.
He's talking about us.
Yeah.
How long are we going to go along in this thing and not realize who and what we are in Christ and begin to set creation free? Yeah. And part of how we do that, we have to let them know that their sins and their iniquities, he said he would remember them, what?
No more.
Well, if he don't remember them no more, we got to quit reminding them of them.
Yes.
We got to start telling them that they've been set free, you know. And I know that goes against the natural things out there in religion, you know what I mean? Because, well, bless God, I'm just afraid my grandma's going to burn in hell because she's meaner than a snake. You know, or something, but, you know, that kind of thing. Well, you know, God is a merciful God.
Amen.
And whether he does it on this side of the veil or the other side of the veil, and even that sermon I gave you last week about him going to destroy, and what that word actually meant was circumcise. Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't tell you everything about that, but with Jewish children, when were they circumcised? You know when they were actually circumcised? No, on the eighth day. Eighth day.
Yeah.
Think about that. Eight is a number for new beginnings. And I'm going to tell you what, there has to come some new beginnings into this world where God does some miraculous things, and he's the only one that can cut away the filth of the flesh. Yes. He's going to circumcise where? And that word even circumcise there had the meaning of circumcise the heart. Mm. You know, if you studied it out in all the references to it. So he has to do the circumcising, but he's going to do it through his people. You know, his hands are your hands. You know, I hate to say that, but that's the truth. You know, a lot of times that's like what you were saying about them not doing my will. You know, well, Christians out there have to quit doing the will of the traditions of the elders out there and start doing the will of God and start asking the Lord, Lord, what are these traditions? You know, are these things for real? You know, let's face it. When it talks down there and says, have we not prophesied your name and cast out devils and done all these wonderful works? That don't mean nothing. That means absolutely nothing that you've done any of that. You know why? He says, he goes on, well, I hate to, I'm taking the whole thing off there. But he goes on and he says, and I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Mm-hmm. What does he mean by knew you? I never had an intimate relationship with you. Because the gifts and the callings are without repentance, you know. Sorry, I'm preaching another sermon here and I'm not trying to do that.
When Clyde was speaking about this, he said, people sit off and they will not be joined in. And I was looking at, when it says, and then I will profess unto them, I never knew thee. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. In the Passion Translation, it says, go away from me, you lawless rebels. I've never been joined to you.
Yeah.
We, and that is a perfect example of being intimate with you, being, it, you know,
one with you.
Being married to you, the two become one.
In a love relationship.
In a love relationship. And that's what he is interested in. Not the works of your hands, not the, not if you have been a pretty good, almost sinless person, or if you've been a rat, you know, rat carrier in your young life. It's all in God's hands. I love that I've never been joined to you. It's not so, I mean, it is, I never knew you, but it's not the same feel to that word, I never knew you.
And what does it say in the Ephesians? He that is joined to the Lord is
one
spirit. One spirit, you know,
yes.
See. And there has to come that joining. And the only way that ever go, that joining is ever going to come is when the body of Christ grows up enough to where they set creation free into being, into the glorious liberty of being the children of God. You know. And until creation comes to realize that, they're not going to be set free. They're going to, and the problem with what it's saying here, this is really talking to us. You know, it's not talking about the world as much as it's talking to us. You know, because it's saying, you've done a lot of beautiful works, you know. How many times have you prophesied to somebody and it happened and it did what you, you know, what the Lord gave you to prophesy, but that didn't, that, but if you didn't have the fruit of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, temperance, and all that, and the restoration where you wanted to restore people, then what did you really accomplish? Yeah, you gave them a word, but, you know.
Well, you brought up that when, you know, creation, how long would it be when creation set free? Well, that has a lot to do with the restoration in us.
Right.
And it's because it's the love in us that penetrates us to where we no longer look on them as though lost, like we look on ourselves.
Right.
I remember this. I said, well, I'll tell you what, let's take that memory out of you and let the new mind of Christ, and we need to have that. We need to have a change of mind because we're looking for change on the outward. But you know what? Did change on the outward take place in you, or did the change on the heart take place in you?
Yeah.
I think that God dealt with our heart first. And when he dealt with our heart first, we should realize, I got a lot of hope. I was sitting over here a little laughing because I'm going to get to see the church one day be the church.
Right.
I mean, is it really, it's going to be a church of love, of compassion, of mercy, the same mercy that it received from the beginning.
Right.
Nothing less, nothing less. And it's and they're going to give up what? You know what? They're going to give up this. They're going to give that up.
Yeah.
And they're going to realize that we were always told, well, you're pointing one at somebody, but three of them's pointing back at you. But the facts are this. We just give it up. When you open hands, you give it up. You know what? You don't have to look behind what's behind somebody's back when their hands are in front of them and they're empty. You know what they got. Do they have a pure heart? I mean, that's what the church should be showing. A pure heart, one that forgives beyond measure, one that actually tells you, Oscar's been preaching this for years, teaching this for years. He said, it's up to you, and that's us as individuals, to tell them they've been set free. God, they're forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, somebody had to tell us that at one time before it actually took home.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're a body that's been forgiven. We're not one that's up against the bar. I kid a lot of people about, said, what shot did you give them? I said, did you give them that one, the one that you're behind bars? You know, because I said that in front of my, to my brother one time in a store, and the people started looking at his ID a little bit closer. And I told him, I'm so sorry, I won't do that again. But you know, I was kidding my brother, but people were paying attention. But, I mean, I just... We're entering a great day. That great day is the day of the Lord. And that day of the Lord doesn't mean anything as far as we're the day of the Lord.
Yeah.
It's Christ in us. And I mean, when you say, I keep on getting to restore one another. It says that about, it talks about the unity. It talks about the unity of the Spirit. You know, that once we're unified, actually I see that as really the going over that when we become one in the Spirit, they will know Because you know what? No matter who they run into, they'll still run into Christ. Have you ever thought about how God looks at us? A lot of people, the old saying is, a lot of people like to put their God in a box. And they put him in such a small one, he can't get out to do anything. And they like to take him out and show him off. But you know what? We are in that box. And the box is him. And he's got us covered on all sides, underneath and above, so that we're completely in his hands. And then when you look at that, you go like this. Whose image are we made in? We're made in his image. What for? The same reason Jesus come to this earth. So they would see Jesus.
You know, I had a couple of thoughts when he was talking. It was funny when you think about those five spiritual senses and five natural senses. Five is the number for grace. This whole thing has to be done by grace.
Amen.
It can't be done by anything else. It's the grace of God. And grace is what the definition that Strong's gives, the divine influence upon the heart and its reflection into the life. You know, it has to start reflecting out into people's lives before people are going to be set free. And then if you go up into Ephesians, what you just quoted a minute ago, about endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. But there's more to that.
Right.
Until we come to what?
Unity.
Unity of the faith.
Mm-hmm.
To a really mature man. Well, what is the unity of the faith? The unity of believing the truthfulness of God. If you want to take the definition of faith as being believing in the truth or the truthfulness of God. And you know, we say we believe it sometimes, but when our actions don't show that we believe it at times, you know, because we go in and out of the reality of it. And we have to come to that place, and he's the one that will take us, bring us to that place where we quit going in and out, like it says up in Romans, I mean, Revelations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they'll go no more out. I'll write upon them the name of my God, and the nature, the character, all that, and the name of the city of my God.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, what was the city? What was all this thing? What was the name of his God? Well, the name of his God was really the nature of Jesus, the
mm-hmm.
character that he's talking about. I'm gonna write upon you the character, the attitude, all of these things that Jesus was. And the name of the city of my God, and the city of God, was New Jerusalem, was Jerusalem coming down from above. And what was that nature? What does Jerusalem mean? It means to point with the finger, to show forth, to teach, Salem, peace, to teach peace. And until we learn to teach peace in people's lives and to teach them to be at peace, because how do you get people to be at peace? As long as they have guilt and stuff like that, they're not going to be at peace. As long as they know that they're a sinner, they're not going to be at peace. Because, you know, when my brother was dying up in the hospital, when I was up there with him for a month, you know, just about every day, and, you know, he kept telling me, he says, I've done a lot of terrible things in my life and all this and that. I said, yeah, but you're forgiven. And I kept telling him that, you're forgiven, you were forgiven. Jesus forgave you on Calvary, you know. And, you know, I think eventually he started seeing that, you know. But your natural mind will keep bringing up, where does the accuser of the brethren dwell?
In between your ears.
Right up here.
Yeah.
Same place that's why the duality of nature, the double-minded
right.
man, the,
mm-hmm.
you know, the dipsuchos, the double-minded man, double-souled.
Unstable in
yeah.
all your ways.
Unstable in all of his ways.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because it'll keep going, reverting back to, oh, bless God, I failed God, you know.
Right.
I did this, I did that. Can God really forgive me for that? You know, and until we get away from that, all that guilt stuff, and basically, you know, the handwriting of ordinance is not the word of God, because he wants to write that in our hearts and in our mind. But until we get away from that, we're gonna keep going in and out. Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And, you know, we have to come to that place where we come to the unity of the faith. When we come to the unity of the faith, that'll be a really mature man.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we won't be tossed to and fro by the sleight of men or the cunning craftiness wherein they lie in wait to deceive, but will speak the truth in love, that you might grow up in him and all things, you know, and we'll want creation to be set free into that. Sorry if I'm preaching a sermon again, but when you look at some of these things in the New Testament, you got to realize that what Jesus was doing even here, this was the gospel of the kingdom, okay? But this was all preached under the old covenant. Now, a lot of people don't like when you say that because they say, oh, bless God, that's all New Testament. No, the tester hadn't died yet.
Right, amen. That's right.
The tester hadn't died yet. He hadn't paid the price for the sin yet. So this, when you read the Gospels, this is the gospel of the kingdom. But it's not the full disclosure of it because he hadn't died. It had been brought into force. It was the last will and testament, but the person hadn't died that made you inherit it yet. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
And that's what we that's what we have to come to realize. So even with this stuff here, we have to ask the Lord, Lord, give us eyes to see and to hear what you're really saying in this, you know. And if not, we will have a tendency to go towards a judgmental side, you know.
You know, I don't want to be outlined, but I feel like this is almost like a foretaste of what's to come. He's given us a taste to see, you know, how about settle down a little. How about, I'm not asking you to go on easy street. I'm just asking you to relax in my hand. Mm-hmm. Trust my word. Because you know what? It's his word that's going to give us even direction and give us stability and give us strength. Because in him we'll move and we'll breathe and we'll have our being. And we'll know outside of him all we have is death. Foretaste.
Praise the Lord.
There's a song, part of it, I can't remember the beginning of it, I ran across it last week, but part of it was is saying, speaking to the Lord into my spirit, you know, closet. Be free, Holy Spirit. This closet doesn't have to be a place, but it's in us, you know. Mm-hmm. Speak to me gently as I close. Heavenly Father, let your spirit cover Shekinah unending is what I long for. And we do long for the presence of him, not the going in, going out, but his presence.
Well, we need to pray and ask the Lord, you know, what the Psalm says, lift up your head,
yes,
you gates. Lift up your head, you everlasting doors.
Yes.
And who will come in?
King of glory.
That's right. And it repeats it twice.
Yeah.
Yes. That's important.
Yeah.
And two is a number for union, mm-hmm. and it's a number that I can't remember the rest of the definition of it, but two has a meaning. How can two walk together unless they are what?
Walking.
In agreement.
Right.
See? And we have to be getting in agreement with his word,
yes.
In agreement with what he says. And I will tell you this, there's a scripture that talks about the two-leaved gates. And part of those two-leaved gates, I feel like, is right here. Right here. Because everything you see came into existence by what?
The spoken word. Yeah.
And we don't realize the power that's in the spoken word. And, you know, until we come to the true realization that, you know, life and death is in the power of what?
The tongue.
The tongue. I mean, you know, this stuff is really, it's really simple, but it has to be put together. You know what I mean? We have to come to the realization. We got to quit letting death come out of our tongue. Start speaking life. And don't get me wrong, when I tell you this stuff, I'm not saying, boy, I'm there, because I'm not there yet. You know, but praise God, I desire to be there. You know, and you have to see it first before you can do it. You know, you really do.
I actually believe you got to believe it before you can do anything.
Well, yeah, that's true.
You know, speaking forth that, calling those things that aren't as though they are.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're seeing the reality of God. I still see God smiling at that.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, finally. Mm-hmm. And I go like this. I mean, come on. In our own lives, have we come to a day where finally? I think we need, I believe we'll all come to that day. Finally. And God go like, let me clap for you, finally.
And doesn't that, in the same regard, apply to every human being? Some of these people, you know, so many things that you see your neighbor, your family doing that you don't agree with. Someday, finally, it will come to them exactly as one day, finally, it came and will continue to come to us. And you were talking about a foretaste of that glory is in giving up that need to divide and judge what they're doing, how they're speaking. They just have to wallow until it opens. And the only thing that we can do to help it open is to accept and love and invite, not judge. And I'm not there yet, for sure. Do we understand fully the power that God has given to us? If we, you know, when that becomes totally aware, you know, he who is joined to God is one spirit. Oh my goodness. That the creation power, the creation authority, I mean, he said the whole world was created by Elohim, who is a many member. You know, it's a plural word. I don't think that we can even comprehend what God has chosen to gift us with, to grace us with, when we realize who we are in Him. Oh, goodness. But somehow, the love and the acceptance of all have to, you know, we have to reward their standing on tiptoe, crying out to see, instead of judging their inability to see. You know, they're standing on tiptoes trying to see the glory of the sons of God. And we can't judge their inability to see it until we become it and give it freely.
You know, the way that the Lord kind of showed that to me is like when I was a little kid, I was downtown one time, and they were tearing these buildings down, and they were, I guess, going to build something else, I don't know. But they had this big fence around there to keep all the debris from getting out into the streets and all this stuff, you know. And, you know, naturally, as being a kid, you want to go and look over the fence or look through a hole in the fence or something, see what's actually happening on the other side of that fence, you know. And that's where creation is. They don't know what God's doing. They don't know what they're looking for. They just know that there's a sense of agitation and even a sense of desire to know something about what's happening. Why is all this? You know, what did Jesus say? He said, except you become a little child, you can't even see the kingdom. Well, what does a little child do? Sit down and start talking to a little child. Explain something to them. See what they say to you. What will they say to you? Why? You tell them. Why? You tell them some more. Why? I mean, they have that. And it's annoying if you're an adult because you think, well, geez, I'm running out of explanations here. But they have that desire to know. And we have to have that desire, that same kind of desire to know Him. And to know what our part of whatever He's called us to do is. And maybe when we fulfill it, I love what Bob Wright told me about Bill Britton. When Bill Britton was in the hospital and he was getting ready to pass to the other life, that he told me that a bunch of the people from the church gathered around him and they told him, they said, Bill, what are we going to do when something happens to you? You know, because he had the vision of sonship, you know, all this kind of stuff. And he said to them, God will raise up 10 more just like that. Mm-hmm. And you know what God raised up? 10 more that knew even more than what Bill did.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
That's what he raised up. He raised up ones that could take them, take you even a little farther. Not just show you the vision of it, but begin to tell you how to move into the vision of it, see? And a lot of times we don't realize that when we've fulfilled our portion of that, then sometimes God moves us out of the way, you know, and it's okay. It's all right. But his word never returns void, no matter what. And that word, even if you don't receive it at the time that you hear it, it goes down inside of you. And when the time is right, God brings it back up, you know. So anyway, we just know that God knows exactly what he's doing. We don't always know. We don't always understand. And that's okay that we don't know and understand. When it's time for us to know and understand, he'll let us know. He'll make us understand.
You know, I think sometimes we don't realize that in some purposes, for God's purposes in our lives, that we fill in gaps. We're gap fillers. Some people don't know that, because they think they're more than that. But the honest God's truth is, a lot of times that's where he uses us to start. You know, a person don't have this. We don't have to tell God what a person don't have. God knows everything that they don't have. He knows everything we don't have, or what we do have, or what we think we have. I mean, we're a bunch of people that should be walking in an eternal hope. And we should not be satisfied with it just staying in us. I don't know how to say it other than that. We should be acting like, if Mike reaches over and touches me, the spirit that's alive within him touches me. All around this room, I believe that we're no more than what Jesus said to the centurion, the centurion said back to him, oh, I'm not worthy that you come to my house. He said, just send your word, because he recognized the authority that Jesus had. I think in ourselves, we haven't come to the place where we realize God has given us all the authority. Just like he said, what did he say? He said, that which you've given to me, I've given to them. Do we not believe that? Because if we believe it, we'll quit downplaying the Christ that lives within us. Arise, shake off the dirt off your feet. You know, when they did that, because we went to visitation a lot, and Jewel was with me, and this guy just went ballistic. And Jewel said, I don't know what, I guess we failed. I said, oh, no. You know, God's word don't never fail. It always does that which it's intended to do. I said, now's the time that you learn this. Shake off the dirt off your feet. Because what we're doing is we're not denying him, but we're showing the fact that we trust the Lord. People go, well, that's old. Well, it can't be too old if I knew how to do it. I mean, no. But the whole thing is, when he is on, and he's always on guard. God's Holy Spirit is always with us. And it's there to empower us. Not ourselves, but be empowered by his anointing. When his word, that's why we study the word, to show that we're approved. As you study that word, he anoints it to empower you to carry that with you. So when you say, I have nothing to say, who are you kidding? The Lord wants to have the utterance come out of you, that which the Holy Spirit has already sent to you and anointed you to do, and the hope that he's given you to give to them. And everything that God has ever given any of us,
is free to anyone. It's not to be withheld from anyone. It's to be going over, running over. You know, we used to sing a song, "Fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul." Lord, what's he?
God of heaven.
God of heaven. Well, you know better than I do.
Fill me till I want no more.
Feed me till I want no more.
I mean, what a cry of your heart. How could that be much more? And then, especially when people are coming and asking you questions, and I go like this, this time, I go back to James, I'm not apologizing where the Lord leads me. Be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, quick to hear the cry of people's hearts. Mm-hmm. God wants you to hear that, but he also doesn't want you to be quick to say something. He wants you to see, I'm dealing with that. I was starting to say a while ago, even if there's tears coming out of people's eyes and you feel their heart just bleeding for the Lord, there's no better time that you've ever had in your life. Do you know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior? My goodness, see if God don't honor that. They might even get on their knees and say, help me, tell me how to do that. I mean, I remember somebody was telling me about, I don't know which baseball player it was. I think it was Frank Pastore or something like that, went to a Bible study with some of the Reds. And I think Tommy Helm or somebody, Tommy Hume, was supposed to be leading the thing. And he started reading the scripture, and he got to where it says that we should be able to give a person the reason for the hope that lives within us. I might be paraphrasing that and tearing that all up, but I believe that to be true. And he said, how do you do this? And they couldn't give him an answer. And they had been meeting for years. Don't you know that we'll have somebody come in our assembly, which is nothing more than our own presence, whether it be a neighbor or somebody, or a loved one, and ask you, how do you see that? We ought to be able to answer that. Really, we should. And don't think God ain't there ready to answer that, because he'll raise up within you and you'll go, I've never heard me say that before. Hi there. Welcome. Because that's exactly how it works. I was thinking about that the other day. How does a person learn to walk in faith and prophesy to somebody when they've never done it before? Well, first of all, you become obedient, believing in the truthfulness of God. You go ahead and do it. You don't think anything of yourself, okay? You go ahead and do it. Then you do it again when he says it. Then you do it again when you say it. I call that practicing the presence of God. You know what he's practicing? Seeing how you're going to be obedient. You know, try the spirits to see whether they're of God. You'll be good at it. And he'll be smiling at you the whole time. You know, the world looks at everything and says, well, maybe that was a mistake. I've had people tell me, I said, I should have shut the microphone, the PA off. But that would have devastated the individual. I'm looking at what was said. Because spiritually it wasn't too good. But God took care of that too. I've seen people go up and talk to this individual. And it's people you would never believe that would approach somebody. The humblest people you would believe would have never said nothing, but the boldness of the Holy Spirit came upon them. And I'm going, oh gosh, just sit back and watch this. Because, I mean, God knows without a doubt, with every vessel that he's ever been born on the face of the earth, right where they're at. What they don't realize, they're right in his hand. Their whole plan of their life is in his hand, in all of us' hands. We're all in his hand. He's got the whole plan. We think we're coming to an end. We couldn't be farther from the truth. I think as new beginnings happen, which is new beginnings is areas that you never have gone that way before. We get stuck in a rut sometimes. We think, well, this is the only way God can move. oh my gosh, I'm glad I don't believe that. Because, you know, I'm looking forward to a lot of new things happening. People that I've never met. I mean, I know I'm taking too much time, but I mean, when people come up to you and say, can I pray for you? They don't know you. And surely they don't want to have this. Well, you don't know me. I don't need your prayer. You know what I tell them? Go ahead. Mm-hmm. I tell them, go ahead. Because this is a part of the body that I don't know. But I'm getting ready to know. Mm-hmm. You know people how they pray? He can move mountains. He still does that, by the way.
I keep looking at these scriptures about weather. The rain descended, the floods came in, the winds blew, it beat upon the house, and it fell not because it was founded on a rock. And he's our rock. And our house is where we live and how we live. And, you know, if you build your house on something that's not a rock, then picture all those people in North Carolina, their houses are hanging off a hill,
yeah,
and they're floating down the river, and it's like, he's just telling us, I'm the rock, build your life on me.
You know, they used to sing that gospel song, you know, years ago, if I could, I surely would stand on that rock where Moses stood. He didn't stand on the rock, he sat on the rock. They misinterpreted scripture. He sat on the rock, and they held his hands up.
Yeah, that's what's important.
So if he was sitting on the rock, what was he doing? He was resting on the Lord.
Amen.
And if they held his hands up, even when he was feeling weary,
right,
they were holding up the support of him, you know what I mean? So, you know, it really, what we need to learn to do is to relax and trust the Lord and not get so, you know what I mean? And we are, he is our rock. He is that rock of salvation. He's the chief cornerstone that the building's being built upon. Mm-hmm. All of those things. I mean, Word declares it over and over and over, you know. And what does the scripture say about when they moved around in the wilderness, even he was that what? That rock that followed them around? He was that rock. Yeah. And that's where they got their water from, you know, in the desert, you know.
Can't live without water.
No, you can't.
Not very long.
He was the water coming out of the rock, too. You know, in type of shadow, you know. But praise God.
What keeps going through my mind is we can never, if we are looking at a person through our flesh or even through our soul, we are never going to see the reality of who that person is. We never will. It's impossible to know how another person feels, unless they tell you, and they might even be mistaken as well. They think they're feeling one thing, but they're really feeling something else. Only in God can we see what's really inside of a person, and that's looking from God's perspective. I watched a movie the other night, and it just overwhelmed me that almost in every situation, it was a beautiful movie, and nothing was as it appeared to be, as people got to letting their walls down and somehow making bad decisions and finding out that they were bad decisions and coming to another and opening up to people. Everything in the end was beautiful. There was the father and the mother and two children, and there was this and that, and they were all basking in the sunlight of God together. And during this movie, like, two girls would meet 30 years later, and they would say, you know, I always thought you were so stuck up in school. And then this girl says, I felt so unworthy that I didn't think I should open my mouth. You never know what the hurt is. You know, you think you do because you might know some of the circumstances, but you never know what the gorgeous, beautiful being inside of that body is going through. You really don't. So, it just overwhelmed me, this little movie did. It was a police drama, and there was a lot of cussing and stuff in it. Oh, it spoke to me on a whole different level. Oh, this person is guilty. Oh, take him in, you know. And you find out the guy had nothing to do with it. It just kind of goes on and on until, it came out so beautifully. For all the people that you learn not to judge, even though every time that someone was judging them, you were right in there. Yeah, he did it. And the truth was, he didn't do it. And, oh, my goodness. So many mistakes we make by judging after hearing and hearing and on a fleshly level, even on a soulish level. We can only do what our Father tells us to do. And say what our Father tells us to say. Anyway, looks like we're ready to go. Let's see. Buddy, would you pray?
Yes. Father, just thank you for this class, Lord. We enjoyed speaking among us, listening among us. Father, just have your way today in main service, Father, and let your word come forth. Give us ears to hear and a heart to receive what you are saying to us, Father. Let the one who is speaking be blessed, and may we be blessed by his words. We ask it all in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.